Evening.
Good evening.
Amen. Good to see everybody. All you faithful.
Yeah.
Brother Sinway, will you lead us in prayer this evening?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of God.
Amen.
It's the house of prayer. That's where he wants it to be. That's what he has it to be. So, you know, I thank him for this day. I thank him for, you know, going before us today, you know, blessing us in every area because he knows our needs, you know, casting our care upon him, you know. He does care for us. You know, we witness it every day. So, you know, I'm thankful to be here, and I can't wait to worship, praise him, and hear the word of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this day, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of life. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love, your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your long-suffering, Lord, your forbearance, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, oh God, today, oh God. Thank you for your hand in our lives, oh God. Thank you for saving us, oh God. Thank you for calling us out, Lord, choosing us, oh Lord, to be a people to you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for power, Lord, for your blood and for your stripes, oh God. Lord, have your way in this place, oh God. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, oh God, to be in worship and experience.
Lord, we want to bless you with your word, to touch you,
Lord, quicken our mortal bodies, oh God.
As you walk down these aisles again,
Lord,
amongst your people, Lord,
Lord,
the congregation,
Lord,
God, let us hear
those that are here, oh God, those that may be sick, afflicted, Lord, that have infirmities, oh God, visit them right now, Lord. Lord, touch them, oh God, in Jesus' name. By your stripes they are healed, oh God.
In a mighty way, my Lord, in Jesus' name.
Sanctuary.
Never busy. this royal tablet.
If I got the Brother Dan, can you pray for the counselors?
Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, you bless us in so many ways, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would come before you, Lord, with a thankful, grateful heart, Lord, for all you do for us and all you provide for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings tonight, Lord, Lord, that we do it with a cheerful heart, Lord, knowing, Lord, you provide everything we need, Lord. And Lord, I pray we give by faith, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you take care of us. And Lord, I pray you bless us all, Lord. Bless it abundantly, Lord. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Of angels.
Hallelujah. Thank you. See everybody tonight.
Amen.
This evening. Amen. And as always, it's always good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Especially this particular service.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
They're all, amen, good. The presence of the Lord is always here.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's always good to come together just to be able to receive, amen, knowledge and wisdom and understanding via His Word.
Yep.
And we, when we do, it's always a blessing to be able to, amen, to know Him. And that's what Jesus was praying when He said that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Okay. That's the whole purpose of us being here, to be able to gain some understanding. Amen. We have all kinds of what we call education. We can be educated. There's nothing wrong with education. Some education is obviously good, necessary, and some is not. But we come to the place where we can receive, amen, spiritual education.
Yes.
Amen. Knowing the things of God and everything that He's that He is all about, understanding, to understand Him. Praise God. So it's always a blessing. Especially during this season, this time of the year, everything that's going on, and historically, last Sunday was Palm Sunday, as the world likes to describe it. And that's the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, amen, on the back of the colt of a donkey. And amen, if you're familiar with that story, you're familiar with the scripture being fulfilled and how He entered, amen, into Jerusalem, amen, and then begins what a lot of people talk about, amen, that final week of His life and what is taking place from that time on. And that's the time of the year that we are in right now as far as the calendar is concerned. Amen. So it's important for us to come to an understanding of it and everything, all the events that took place during that week. And of course, you know, what it means to you and I. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles tonight, just to begin, just a few places, I want to just reference some scripture. And I want you to pay attention to what's being said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start out with, if you want to go there. And remember, this is Bible study night. Bible study. So as it is designated Bible study, of course, what that means is we study the Bible.
Amen.
And as the Apostle Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So be able to understand, to comprehend God's word. Of course, he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a way we do it. There's a way we, if we want to say it that way, we systematically study God's word so we can gain the knowledge that we need to gain. So it's really important for us. So let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you have it, say amen.
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 And this is what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What an admonition. Mm-hmm. What an admonition. Basically, and simply put, he's trying to bring attention to the message of the gospel. And he obviously talks about, you know, how they have heard the gospel. They obviously heard it. They received it. And that's what they stand. That's what they stand on. Wherein ye stand? We stand upon the gospel. Of course, the gospel is the good news.
The good news.
The good news.
Right.
Everybody say the good news.
The good news.
The good news.
Yep.
Of what? The good news, he says. He said, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So we're saved. He said, you're saved by this, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So he's talking, he's saying the good news is this. It's what everybody is basically celebrating right now during this week. It began with his coming into the Jerusalem, what they call Palm Sunday. Of course, you know, that's what they did. They laid palms down before him. They laid their cloaks and their clothes before him, and they acknowledge him. They begin to worship him. And blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Right.
Amen. A prophecy that was being fulfilled, recognizing the triumphal entrance of the King of Israel, amen, into Jerusalem. So that began. Okay, so that's what they were talking about. So obviously the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what this particular week is all about.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
The good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. He said, well, I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He died and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So death, burial, and resurrection. So remember what we're talking about. Remember what we're describing here. Go to the book of Luke chapter 1. And I just want you to get familiar with just what is being said here, just by the admonitions. Just by the admonitions. Luke chapter 1. And look what it says here in Luke chapter 1. Verse number 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
So look what Luke is saying here. Pay attention to what he's saying. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Of those things that are most surely believed among us. This is what you and I believe. This is what we believe. We believe in the death, in the burial, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the Gospels, that's what the four Gospels are all about.
Everything that's written in the four Gospels records everything from the day that Jesus started his ministry after he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And he began his ministry those 3.5 years. So this is what this is all about. But guess where it leads us? It leads us to his death, his burial, and resurrection, because that was the conclusion of everything that Jesus began to do. Amen. And so these are the things that are most assuredly believed among us. We believe it, especially if we're followers of Jesus Christ, if we're disciples of Jesus. If we believe, that's what this is what we believe. Even verse number 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So here we see that he's saying, just like everybody else is laying down the record, he said, I'm going to present to you my account, my the record of what Jesus, what I've seen of Jesus. Paraphrasing. So he's given us an account that what they've seen. Remember, all the apostles, all of Jesus' apostles, all those people that followed him, all those 3.5 years, they were all eyewitnesses of what Jesus did. They were all eyewitnesses. They seen, they heard, they witnessed. Okay? So, well, let's go to another piece of scripture. Let's go to the second book of Thessalonians. And chapter 2 there. And I want you to hear, I want you to pay attention to what's being said in these scripture verses, because it's important for us to understand what it is. Amen. When we say that we believe, obviously we believe the word, we believe the account that is given to us in the word. Is that right?
Yep.
We believe the witness of Jesus and his apostles and his disciples. We believe their witness. We believe their account. So we see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 15. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
So it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Look at this admonition. Stand fast. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, by whether by word or our epistle. So what you have been taught, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word, by their word, because they witnessed, or by our epistle. By anything that was written. We read in the scripture, when he's talking about epistle, he's talking about all the letters that were written to the churches by the apostles. Amen.
Amen.
And you can break that up. We can break it up. The Pauline epistles are all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. The general epistles include the, amen, the book of John, the epistles of John and James and Jude and Peter. All these epistles, which basically an epistle is a letter that was written. So in those letters, they gave the account. They gave the account of Jesus. So when we talk about, when he talks about traditions, the traditions, what he means is this, is what they received, it's what they were taught about Jesus. Okay, that's really important. Because not everybody
right.
believes it.
Right. Amen.
Is everybody paying attention?
Yes.
Not everybody believes it according to the scripture.
Right. Amen.
You would be amazed, I guess you would be shocked to find out
Not everybody believes it.
Amen.
According to the scripture. Amen. But the few that know and understand the apostolic doctrine.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Right. Ooh. Apostolic doctrine. Amen.
Guess what? Amen. That's what this body of believers is all about. We're
yes.
apostolic.
Yes.
You know what that means? We're apostolic. That means we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles.
Right.
So we refer to ourselves as apostolic. Amen. Because we believe them
yes.
and not men.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. That's right.
Well, Colossians chapter 2. I'm just kind of laying this groundwork so you can understand. Colossians chapter 2. Remember what he said. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Colossians chapter 2, and right around verse number 6, we will begin with, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did they receive him? They were taught by the apostles. So they received their witness. Remember what we just got done reading about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and what Luke said in, amen, in the book of Luke chapter 1. Their witness. Huh?
Amen.
Their account. And so he's saying that. For as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The witness you received, let me just paraphrase it. The witness that you received of Jesus by all the apostles, he said, walk in that witness. Walk according to their word. Walk according to their instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's what we got to do. So we see that. And so he goes on to say, amen. Rooted in verse number 7 and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So rooted and built up in him. In other words, guess what? We have to be rooted in the Lord.
Amen.
And built up in him.
Right.
Praise God. We have to be planted. You ever know why when he says, be steadfast? Is that what he said?
Yep.
That's what he said, didn't he? Brethren, he said, therefore, brethren, steadfast.
Right.
Stand fast.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Stand fast. In other words, guess what? We've got to stand.
Yeah. Right.
We've got to stand on the word of God. We have to stand fast. It's what you and I believe. Guess what? If you believe something, you're going to stand on it.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
That's going to be
that's right.
your faith. That's going to be your belief. That's going to be your assurance. Because if you believe something, you're going to stand on what you believe.
Amen.
And praise God. Here's the thing about this. You and I believe the truth.
Yes. Amen.
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 Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we believe the truth, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we stand upon the truth. We stand fast on the truth. That's what we're standing on. That's why we are anchored in God. So remember that. Remember that. So he says, stand fast, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Praise God. Let me tell you something. That's important for you to understand this. Praise God. If you have received the Lord, if you have received the witness of the Word of God, if you have been born again, if you have come to the knowledge of repentance, and if you have come to the knowledge of the truth, guess what? You ought to be thankful.
Yes.
Because amen. Not everybody
yes.
understands
amen.
And knows
amen.
The truth. They all have their perception.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So let's go on. So that's why he says in verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I want you to pay attention. Look what he's saying. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Guess what everybody is doing right now, during this week? Everybody is, praise God, doing everything according to the rudiments of the world.
Yeah.
It's the world's perception of what Jesus came to do. You know what they're doing? They're missing out the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Guess what we attempt to do here at Livingstone Apostolic Church? We obey the Lord. So you know what we do? We preach the whole truth.
Yep.
And nothing but the truth.
Right.
So help us God.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You notice that? Notice how I said that? The whole truth.
Yes.
Not parts of the truth.
Right.
Not just little portions of the
right.
truth. The whole truth.
Amen.
The whole truth.
Yes. Amen.
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 I'm really, I'm fortunate. I'm very, very blessed. Because when I came to the Lord way back when, of course, it's just like everybody else. You don't have that understanding. You don't have, you know, the insight of God's word. So, amen. When we come to the Lord, we don't understand a lot of things. But as long as the thing about it is, you'll get to that point where you can know, you can receive, amen, knowledge. You can receive spiritual understanding. That would all happen. It's all going to happen. Those of you that are young in the Lord, babes in Christ, that will all happen. Those of you that want to know more about God, that will all happen. But the one thing that's going to lead you to that right now, because you do not know, you do not understand, is this. Simply obedience.
Yes.
Just obey God's will.
Yes.
As long as you obey God's will, amen, he's going to lead you so you can be able to receive whatever knowledge, whatever instruction, whatever doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Whatever doctrine he wants to bring to you, and all you have to do right now, we don't all know it. But all we're supposed to do is just obey.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
So when we obey, guess what's going to happen? He's going to open up.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
He's going to open up to us understanding.
Yes.
And here's the thing. And that hinges on whether you want to receive the truth.
That's it. Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
That's right.
And whether you want to be taught.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. To know. I'm glad I know the truth.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
So because of that, because of how the Lord was worked in my life and how he's still working, I had to humble myself to his will. And because of that, guess what? Men of God taught me. That's the process. That's the method. That's the tradition. Men of God teaching you. So because I submitted myself, men of God taught me. They passed on the word. They passed on the teaching. And so I learned. I obeyed. So as a result of it, guess what? I know. Just like you. If you learn, you obey, you're going to know. And you're going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And in the faith of the Son of God. It's all a process. That's what we're here doing. But guess what? What we learn and what we believe and what we live is based upon nothing but the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's why I said not on the philosophies of men, not on vain deceit, empty deception. You know what? We live in a world where people just believe anything and everything.
Yep.
And they never really try to research it or find anything out about it. Right. They just believe it because everybody else is doing that same thing. So, amen. They're believing it, so I might as well believe it. But they never find out anything about it, whether if it's truth or not.
Right.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
Praise God. So I'm glad. philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Woo! There's certain things that the world does to recognize Jesus Christ. But guess what? It's not truth.
No, it is not.
Woo! I don't say that to be judgmental.
Right.
Because if they knew the truth, they wouldn't have anything to do with it.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Praise God.
That's right.
I'm saying all this so you can understand. So you'll understand what I have to preach to you here or minister to you here. So he says, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. It seems like everybody wants to, here's the thing, everybody wants to put a spin or a twist on Jesus.
Yeah. I know.
Yep.
Is everybody here to learn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Pay attention. You know why that's important for us to understand? Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, the Bible says way in the book, in the book of Revelation, right to the back of the book of Revelation, it says this, not to add or take away from
right.
the word.
Yeah. That's right.
So when we add or take away from the word, you know what? We don't have the authority to do that. Jesus said in the scripture, not one jot or one tittle shall be, amen, taken from the law until all be fulfilled. So we're not supposed to touch the word of God. We're supposed to leave it alone.
Right.
Just like the psalm says, just leave it alone. It's God's holy word. We're not supposed to touch it. We're supposed to leave it. We're not supposed to add to it. We're not supposed to take away from it.
Yep.
See, that's where a lot of denominational churches are right now. They're either adding or they're either taking away.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Just pay attention now. I'm just. I say that because I used to be a part of that. And I'm not no more. Thank God for the truth.
Thank
you. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth
Amen.
Shall make you free.
Yes.
Yep.
So here we see here, this week, according to the calendar, today is the Passover. Now here's something I noticed that. They can talk about Palm Sunday, and they can talk about Easter Sunday, which is coming up, which is this Sunday. But guess what? You ever notice on all the calendars, you know what they don't recognize? The Passover.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, look it up.
Yeah.
Today is supposed to be the Passover. They don't even have it on their calendars, but they'll recognize Palm Sunday. They'll recognize Easter Sunday, but they won't recognize it. This is what this week is all about.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
So what they are trying to do is eliminate the very one thing that makes this what they call a holy week, a holy week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I notice that. I said every calendar. I said, what in the world? Yeah. But they sure want to label the Palm Sunday, and they sure want to label. Guess what? Easter
right.
Sunday.
Yeah.
But they don't want to talk about the Passover. That's what this whole thing is all about.
Right.
That's what his triumphal entry into Jerusalem was all about.
Yes.
Having to do with what was going to take place on this day.
Yes.
It's how, years ago, I preached a message, and the Lord gave me this title of the message. And you know what the title of my message was? The Wrong Image of the Right God. Is everybody paying attention?
Yeah.
The Wrong Image of the Right God. In other words, everybody kind of sees God. There's an image of God that they see and that they'll acknowledge and that they'll Amen. They'll believe, but guess what? It's the wrong image.
Right. Yep.
It's That's the right, right God, but the wrong image.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
The wrong image of the right God. So we see here in the scripture, we want to follow what is written in the word. And we know that. Remember what we're talking about. When we went to that first passage in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about his death, his burial, his resurrection. And all this that the apostles, all his apostles, that they witnessed, that they seen, everything that they heard Jesus speak, they were eyewitnesses of that account. So they recorded it. And you notice that what they recorded is what they witnessed. So because, and here's the thing, there's some things as far as scripture is concerned when we talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that people do not understand. For example, today is the Passover. Amen. On the Jewish calendar, today is the Passover. This should be the Jewish month, Abib. There's two, they use... When they describe the month that we're in, Abib was paralyzed. In the book of Exodus, when the Lord spoke to Moses concerning going back and, amen, leading his people out of Egypt, out of bondage, he selected the Jewish month, Abib. And that month was used or spoken in that sense, Abib, all the way up to, amen, praise God, the captivity of Israel when they went into captivity in Babylon. So when they went into captivity in Babylon, and after they came back, those 70 years of being in Babylonian captivity, they did not use the terminology of what God revealed to them as far as the Hebrew was concerned, because he said Abib, the month Abib. When they came out of, amen, captivity in Babylon, because they were influenced by Babylonian culture, the culture of the Babylonians. You know what? They came back with that influence, and they didn't call it Abib anymore. They called it Nisan. So that's when they began to use it. Guess what? Babylon is still influencing the world.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Oh man, there's so much about that. I don't want to go into detail. It'll take away my time. But Babylon is still an influence to this world. You know what? You know who Babylon is? Well, let me just give you just a hint so you can probably understand. Babylon sits over there in the city of Rome.
Yep.
Bible says she sits upon seven mountains.
Yep.
Right now, where the St. Peter Basilica sits in Rome, Roman Catholicism, right now that location, guess what? She sits on seven mountains.
Right.
Now, how is that a coincidence?
Yeah.
It's not. It's scripture.
Yep.
So Babylon still influences the world. The Babylon influenced them back then. It's influencing right now, because everything the church world is doing right now is they're doing everything according to Babylon.
Yes.
Right. My. I hope I'm helping you.
Yep. Yes, you are.
So when we take a look at what's going on here, there's some important things. Today, as far as the Hebrew calendar is concerned, is the 14th of Abib. According to history, according to scripture, according to everything that the Lord laid out to his people Israel, the Passover lamb was crucified at 3 p.m. on the 14th day of Abib. So the Passover lamb was crucified. Now, hypothetically, if we're going by, if we're saying he was crucified, the Passover lamb was crucified, amen, at 3 p.m., right now, we're obviously almost 3.5 hours past the time of his crucifixion, if we were living, in that time. Because he was offered up and he was crucified right exactly when the Passover lamb was crucified at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, which was, according to the scripture, the sixth hour. His body hung there on that cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. So in other words, if he was crucified at 3 p.m., according to the scripture, the Passover lamb was crucified at 3 p.m., and he hung there on the cross until 6 p.m. when they took his body off of the cross. So that means that, praise God, that was the ninth hour. So that means the ninth hour his body was taken down. So that means at 6 p.m. they took his body off of the cross. Why was that? Because, guess what? From evening to evening. Is a day. We wake up in the morning, we say, oh, God's given us a day. We start our days by the morning. So we say from morning to morning, 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock the next day is a day. No, in the Jewish calendar, from evening to evening is a day.
Amen.
And so his body was taken down at the ninth hour, which was right around 6 p.m. His body was taken off of the cross. I want you to remember this. Go with me to Matthew 16. I need to move along here. Matthew 16, verse number 21. Amen. If you're getting there, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
So look what it says. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So Jesus began to let his disciples know that I must go into Jerusalem. I must go into Jerusalem because I need to go into Jerusalem so the word of God can be fulfilled. He said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to be raised. I'm going to be raised the third day. So he began to prepare his disciples, but guess what? They weren't paying attention, and they weren't listening. But he was following what was spoken in the word.
Right.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm going to suffer. He was scourged. He was whipped. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to rise. I'm going to resurrect from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow.
And that was on the 14th of Abib. The 14th of Abib. So we see that. You go over to back up a few chapters there in chapter 12. And look what he says here in chapter 12 in verse number 40. And he's throwing out, amen, about what is going to happen in the very near future there. So in chapter 12, verse number 40, look what it says there. Look what he says. he said, they were asked, a certain of the scribes and then the Pharisees in verse number 38 answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights, pay attention, 3 days and three nights. A day is a 12-hour period. Now I'm talking that's when the sun shines. The nighttime is a 12-hour period. 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Mm-hmm. So here he was trying to bring some understanding to them. He said, you're looking for a sign? Well, this is the sign that I'm going to give you. The Son of Man is going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. 3 days, three nights in the whale's belly. So we see that. But guess what? This was spoken in the Word. This was spoken in the Word long before. You go back into the book of Exodus when the Lord was dealing with Moses about, going back into Egypt to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And so we see that in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 18. You'll see here in the scripture in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 18. And this is what it says. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. Is that the right scripture verse? Okay, hold on. Oh, I'm reading for the wrong one. Okay, chapter 3. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you. Look what he says. 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So he said, so that we can go 3 days journey. A 3 day journey. Why? Because God was setting in place the deliverance of Israel.
Yes.
And this deliverance was going to be a 3 day journey. In other words, he was setting in place prophetically, amen. Amen, the Passover lamb. 3 days journey. So you see that. And then you go over into the same book, Exodus chapter 10, and you'll see there another, praise God, example in Hebrews chapter 10, Exodus chapter 10, verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be found. Now, pay attention to what he's saying. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So darkness was going to hit Egypt for 3 days. 3 days journey. Why was it? Why 3 days? Because that was going to be the last plague. The last plague was going to be death. Praise God. Pay attention now. So he gives them instruction. You don't have to go there. He gives instruction in Exodus 12 concerning the Passover lamb, when it was supposed to be slain. And they were supposed to slay it, and they were supposed to take the blood of it, and they were supposed to put it on the doorpost of their homes. Apply the blood. And when I see the blood, he said, I'm going to pass over you. In other words, guess what? The death angel is not going to touch you because you applied the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the Passover lamb. So in other words, the Israelites weren't going to be, amen, weren't going to be visited by the death angel. So we see that. Three days journey. What Jesus said. He said, I will give you a sign, the Son of Man. Just like Noah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth. 3 days journey. Praise God. So pay attention. 3 days. John chapter 12. Okay, John chapter 12. So, 3 days journey that was going to begin on the 14th day of Abib. The Passover lamb was going to be slain on the 14th day of Abib. All right? Go with me to John chapter 12 and I want you to stick your finger right there in that chapter right there, and I want you to go back to Leviticus chapter 23. I just realized something. Stick your finger there in John chapter 12 and go with me back to Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 4 in Leviticus 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And look what it says in verse number 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So the 14th day at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So you see that. The 14th day was the Passover. The 15th day was unleavened bread. Okay? And verse number 7. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days in the seventh day is an holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein. Then he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying in verse number 9, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Amen. So he's talking about, amen, here we have, he's talking about Passover on the 14th, unleavened bread on the 15th, and then the first fruits begins on the 18th. Woo. Let that sink in a little bit. Let it sink in. Because it all winds up. All right? So you go over there, John chapter 12, where I told you to go if you still have your finger there. Verse number 24. And this is what it says. John chapter 12. And we'll start with verse number 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's talking about his crucifixion, his passion, and his crucifixion. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he says, except a corn of wheat die and is buried. Woo! Pay attention. Remember, this is the word of God. Except a corn of wheat dies and is buried, can't bring forth fruit. So it has to die and has to be buried. So pay attention. Pay attention. What did we just read in Leviticus chapter 23? Passover on the 14th. Unleavened bread on the 15th. Unleavened bread was the beginning or the marking of the planting season in Israel. So during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, guess what? After the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then they could plant the seed. The summer harvest. Mm-hmm. They can plant the seed after unleavened bread. That's what he was talking about. Remember, that was their planting season. So here we have, he said, that corn and wheat. So here we have death on the 14th. And his body was taken down after 6 p.m. So it began, his body was taken down after 6 p.m. So obviously it shifted from the 14th to the 15th. And here comes unleavened bread. Here's the planting season. You bury that corn of wheat in the ground.
Wow.
Pay attention. Pay attention. So here it was. You bury that corn of wheat in the ground. Death. Burial.
Right.
What did he say? He said 3 days and 3 nights. So let's say he was crucified. Now, I want you to pay attention. Let's say he was crucified. He was crucified in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
He was crucified on the 14th of Abib. He was crucified on the middle of the week. So let's just put it into perspective. He was crucified on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the day goes from evening to evening. He was taken off of the cross in the final moments of the 14th of Abib. And when the evening began for the next day, he was placed in the tomb. And that was the day that unleavened bread began. That was the planting season. So he was in the tomb. He was placed in the tomb Wednesday evening. He was in the tomb Wednesday evening to Friday evening. Thursday evening. Thursday evening to Friday evening. Friday evening to Saturday evening. 3 days.
Wow.
3 nights. And so if he was crucified on the 14th and buried on the 15th, he didn't resurrect until the 18th. Is everybody getting that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That scripture.
Yes.
And some people, you know, even amongst, you know, all the theologians, because they say he was crucified, and on Wednesday, and guess what? He resurrected on Good Friday. That's only 2 days. It's not 72 hours. It's only 48 hours. But that's the tradition of men.
Yeah.
So here we see, remember, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So here we see Wednesday evening to Thursday evening, one, Thursday evening to Friday evening, two, Friday evening to Saturday evening, three. Here's something beautiful. Saturday was the third day. Saturday was 72 hours. That evening was 72 hours. Guess what? Guess what Saturday is on the Jewish calendar?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath, the rest.
Yeah. Rest.
Yeah.
He finished with his rest.
Jesus.
His rest wasn't long. It was only 3 days.
Yeah.
And he resurrected. Okay? So pay attention now. So here's the thing. You know what they called? Let me prove my point here. Where am I now? Let me find it. John chapter 19, verse number 31. Let's go there. John chapter 19, verse number 31. So look what's happening. This is right. Right at the crucifixion of Jesus on the 14th day of Abib, John chapter 19, verse number 31, it says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not be remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. So in other words, that day was a Sabbath day. Pay attention. It was a Sabbath day. The 14th day of Abib was a Sabbath day. Pay attention to that. Okay? For that Sabbath day was an high day. So what does it mean? And so they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So here we see this. The Sabbath day, that Sabbath day was a high day. So when we take a look at what the scripture is saying concerning that Sabbath day was a high day, I want you to go back with me to Leviticus 23 and verses number 24 and 25. I want you to see something here. He says this in Leviticus 23, verses 24 and 25. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, and memorial blowing of trumpets, and holy conversation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so we see this. The first day of the month, guess what? The first day of the month never always ended up on the seventh day.
Right.
So there were appointed Sabbaths. So when Jesus was crucified on the day of the 14th of Abib, that was a high Sabbath. That was a Sabbath that was appointed because of the feast days. That's why it says, you know, so remember that. There were Sabbaths that they can install according to the calendars of the feast. There was a Sabbath that they could install there, even if it didn't come to the weekly Sabbath. Does anybody know when the weekly Sabbath was? When was the weekly Sabbath?
Saturday.
Saturday, but what day was that? Seventh day.
Right.
So their week went from, the first day of the week was obviously Sunday, to Saturday. Sunday was the first, Saturday was the seventh. But what I'm saying here is that they, whatever, according to the, however the Feast of Israel fell, and no matter if it didn't fall right on that Sabbath, there were appointed Sabbath days. So they, obviously, this day that when he was crucified was an appointed Sabbath day. It was a high day. In other words, it was a special occasion. It was the celebrating or the sacrificing of the Passover lamb on that high day, that appointed Sabbath. It was a special day. So we see that. So look, let's get back to it now. So we see that there were appointed Sabbaths. But look what it says here. Amen. Resurrection day occurred or happened on the 18th of Abib. Remember what we said. The 14th, crucifixion. The 15th, burial. So the 15th to the 16th was one day. The 16th to the 17th was another day. The 17th to the 18th was the third day. So we see here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 11. And look what he says about the first fruits. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So when was the sheaf was supposed to be lifted up and waved? The sheaf of the first fruits. When was that supposed to be lifted up and waved? He said, on the morrow after the Sabbath. Woo. Right now, everybody's looking kind of confused. So in other words, the 18th was actually at the end of that evening. It came to it, the 18th was the third day, the end of that evening. Okay? So look at this. He said the morrow after the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath he's talking about is the weekly Sabbath. That seventh day, after that seventh day, then you could lift up that sheaf of the first fruits. Because that's going to signify resurrection. The first fruits,
yes.
Resurrection. Boom. Okay? So look at that. The morrow after the Sabbath. After the seventh day. The morrow after the Sabbath. So we understand that the weekly Sabbath was the seventh day, which was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Does everybody understand that now?
Yeah.
So now look what takes place. Look what takes place. We see here in the book of Mark chapter 16. If you go there, in the book of Mark chapter 16, the morrow after the Sabbath, amen. Here we see, Mark, didn't I? Okay, I went to the wrong one. Mark chapter 16, does everybody have it?
Yes.
And so look what it says in verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, when the seventh day was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. So, Sunday morning, they ran to the tomb.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there.
Amen.
That sheaf was lifted up.
Amen.
You go to John chapter 20, Gospel of John chapter 20. You almost read the same thing here in the Gospel of John chapter 20. Look what it says. Pay attention to what it says. Verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So the first day of the week she went there. Guess what? It already took place. Boom. Hey, here's something interesting. I got to get it copied. I read the account of Pontius Pilate, his report to Caesar of the time he was in Palestine. He's talking about in Palestine where he was. Of course, he was the prefect, the governor of Palestine. So he was situated in Jerusalem. So after he finished his years of service there in Palestine, he wrote a report to Caesar concerning the years he was out there. He talked about meeting this man Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, there was something about Jesus of Nazareth. This was his very words. He said, he was a unique character. My observation of Jesus of Nazareth was this. He said, my only explanation is this, that he's not a human being, or that he's not human. Only because of his nature. He said, and of course he said, and here's the thing. He said, he describes his physical appearance. 30-some years old. He said, this young man, he said, there was just something about his appearance that he just drew you toward him.
Amen.
You just wanted to be around him. He said, he was a handsome-looking young man with golden brown hair. And so when they were describing and giving the account of his crucifixion and everything that happened, of course, what we read in the scripture, you know, and I know this, that they gave, when Pontius Pilate gave his report to Caesar, it was, they say it was, this report was given to Caesar sometime, they speculated around 40 to maybe 45 A.D., guess what? None of the Gospels were written until after 90 A.D. But if you read everything that Pilate says in his report, it's almost like you're reading the Gospel. Everything that he gives an account. So here's, he talks about the day of his resurrection. He said, the day of his resurrection. He said, of course, because of the request of the Jews, he said, they placed Herod's soldiers there to cover the tomb, to guard the tomb, just in case his disciples came to rob his body. He said, early that morning, early the first day of the week, he said, there was a light that came down from heaven. And that light settled over the tomb where Jesus lay. And he said, that light was there, so all the soldiers were watching that light. All of a sudden, it just grows its brightness and intensity. It just brightened the whole area. He said, it was even brighter than the sun. And it lighted the whole area around the tomb, he said. And guess what happened? He said, they heard a sound of singing.
Wow.
He said, it was a choir
wow.
of voices singing. Obviously, angels
yes.
Amen.
Proclaiming. They couldn't see anything. He said, but when that light grew intense, guess what happened? He said, all the soldiers said this. He said, they just totally lost all their physical strength. Some of them fell to the ground. Some others fell to the knees. And they couldn't move or do anything. And he said, an angel came and rolled back the stone. And that's when he came out of the tomb. That was their account. That was his written account. Praise God of Jesus' burial and his resurrection.
Amen.
So think about it. Think about it. The world does not even know. I don't mean to offend anybody here. I just rather tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
But the world right now, they connect it to a holiday, which is not a Christian holiday. Mm-hmm. They connect it to a holiday and they call it Easter. Easter is a pagan god by the name of Ashtoreth or Astor, and she is the god of fertility.
Yeah.
So because she's the god of fertility, they likened her to, guess what? Rabbits are a breed of animal that just, When they procreate, man, they have all kinds of little,
right.
amen, rabbits running around. So they're that symbol of fertility, amen. And so that's the reason why the world incorporates that into the celebration or resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has nothing to do about it
right.
or with it.
Right.
And so that's where the word Easter comes from. So here's the thing. There was a discrepancy in the scripture because a lot of people said, well, what does the Bible say in Acts chapter 12 where it talks about, amen, when King Agrippa was persecuting the apostles and he killed James and then he was wanting to put Peter in prison, but because it was Easter, that's what it says in the King James Version, because it was Easter, he didn't do it. But if you look at that word, the correct word that should have been written, because if you go into the Greek, it doesn't say Astarte or Easter. You know what it says? It says Paschal. Paschal is the word, the Greek word for the word Passover. Because it was the Passover. But, amen, so by discrepancy, one of the people that were responsible for the translation of the New Testament put Easter. Obviously because they were part of that pagan persuasion. Praise God. Oh, I went over. So here we see 14th burial or death, 15th burial. He's in the tomb. He's in the tomb for 3 days, resurrects the 18th, the first day of the week. He's not there. 3 days, three nights from now, and praise God, his resurrection. His resurrection. And so here we are. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Amen.
And as Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Praise God. I'm glad I know the truth.
Amen.
I hope you all learned something tonight.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you very much. Time's up. Time's over. God bless you. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Have a good rest of the day.